Hello and welcome to another Outlet at Home experience. I'm Vince Thomas, lead pastor of the Outlet Community Church, and I want to thank you for joining us today. Well, it's a special day here at the Outlet, as you can tell with my blazer, and we have some exciting things going on. Did you know that on tomorrow we will celebrate 1 year of holding online only services? Can you believe it's already been a year? And within that year, I want to commend you. I want to commend your commitment, your dedication, your love for the people of God, the kingdom of God, and your resilience. You all have been phenomenal through our outreach efforts, through your giving, through your willingness to find ways to connect, even though we've been socially distant. But as pastor of the Outlet Community Church, I've also come to realize that about 60% of our church family has not logged in to one service online in the last 12 months. And that plays a huge part on my heart. I believe that we are to do whatever it takes to make sure that everyone can receive the Word of God in the way in which ministers and reaches them. So at the end of today's service, we are going to have our State of the Church address, where myself, along with our executive director, Diana King, will talk to you all about all the things in which we've accomplished in 2020. We will be completely transparent as it relates to our ministry reporting, as well as our finances, because we believe that you, the people of the Outlet community, are the reason why we exist, and we are to be accountable concerning everything in which you've given to our ministry. During that meeting, I will also share a plan as we will begin the process of regathering in person together again. Now, I don't want you to get nervous, because regathering is going to take time, it's going to take planning, but most importantly, we are going to have to pour into every person who is a part of our core team, which are the volunteers that make the Outlet run. I believe we cannot pour from an empty tank. So it is important for us to spend time in the next couple months pouring into our leadership team, and I will give more detail as to how we endeavor to do that. It's going to take an entire approach. It's going to take those serving online. It's going to take those serving in person, because I believe that God has called us to be an excellent hybrid ministry, reaching people wherever they are in the world. And so, also, as we continue today, we are celebrating Women's History Month. My wife, Pastor Ashley, she has been invited by the Pan-African Orthodox Church to be the guest speaker at all of their campuses today. And so my wife here in Atlanta will be speaking to churches in Texas, in Michigan, and also Georgia. They also requested Jalinda, who is a part of our worship team here at the Outlet, to be a part of that package that is going to represent our church to the world on today. So I want to invite you right now to just get ready to worship the Lord. Get your notepad, your pens, your books, your Bibles ready to go. And I believe that my wife is going to bring a word that is going to bless all of our lives. And I look forward to coming back after she is done and giving you some more instructions as we head into the State of the Church. Before we go into worship today, will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we praise you, we thank you, we love you. You are so wonderful, you are so awesome. Father, during this time, I thank you for the gift and the power of technology, that although we all may be in different places, we can all be joined and connected by the Spirit. And this morning, this afternoon, whenever people are watching, cause the word to be relevant, cause it to come alive and enhance the quality of their life. Bring them hope, bring them joy, show them your goodness. And we thank you for these things in Jesus' name, amen.
Hello, sisters, and happy Sunday to you. My name is Pastor Ashley, and I am sending you love and greetings all the way here from Atlanta, Georgia. I am so honored to be a part of this Women's History Month, celebrating sisterhood and community and fellowship and friendship, while paying honor and homage to our foremothers that have paved the way for us to be where we are today. And for that, I am so grateful. It's such a beautiful thing. Well, I got to tell you, my heart hurts just a little bit because as much as I want to be there with you all physically, I want you to know that I am there with you in the spirit. We are all going through this pandemic, and so we're all in this together, but I'm sending you love, and I wish I was there physically. But lastly, I want to say thank you. I want to say thank you for tuning in on this Sunday morning. Thank you for sharing your worship with us. I believe the Lord has given me a really powerful message that I think will be a great blessing to us all this morning. And with that being said, if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to the book of Ecclesiastes in chapter 3. The book of Ecclesiastes in chapter 3. I'm going to start reading in verses 3. And it says, there is a time to kill, and I'm reading the King James Version. There's a time to kill and a time to heal. There's a time to break down and a time to build up. There's a time to weep and a time to laugh. There's a time to mourn and a time to dance. You see, I believe that King Solomon, who authored this book, I believe he wrote these passages with the understanding that life is going to take us on a journey. And that journey is going to have ups and downs and highs and lows. He understood that we're going to have some mountaintop experiences, but also some valley low experiences. I think he understood that we were going to have some magnificent wins in life. But I also think he realized that we were going to also suffer some really devastating losses. But see, this is why I love what the theme of this Women's History Month is all about. It is all about embracing the spirit, because if we're to do and if we're to navigate and move through these various seasons of ups and downs and valley seasons and wins and losses, if we're going to move through this life, sisters, with wisdom and power and love, we are going to need to learn how to embrace the spirit. And I believe in order to embrace the spirit, we're going to have to embrace the spirit of our identity. Sisters, we're going to have to embrace the spirit of our worthiness. We're going to have to learn how to embrace the spirit of our value. We're going to have to learn how to embrace the spirit of our voice to be an advocate. We're going to have to learn how to embrace the spirit to be made known. If we're going to move with significance and with power, we must embrace the spirit. But I got to tell you that before we can even embark upon that, before we can even, you know, step forward in that embracing of the spirit, we're first going to have to be familiar with the spirit. And so I want to take you to a passage of scripture that I think just really sets the tone for this. And it's in John 16. So turn with me in your Bibles there. And I want to give you some context a little bit about what is happening in this passage. We have the Messiah talking to his disciples. He's beginning to reveal to them a gift. He's beginning to almost prophesy about what's to come. And in his prophecy, he's sharing something. I don't think they even understood the magnitude of what he was sharing with them and the gift they were going to be receiving and witnessing. But here we are in verses 5, and we pick up here, and it says, "But now I go my way to him that sent me." And this is Jesus talking. And he says, "And none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart." You see, the disciples had been walking with Jesus for a minute here, and they had been seeing him do all these miracles and wonderful blessings and healings, and they had been seeing him walk in all of these wonderful, miraculous things. And they were, when he was approaching them with leaving and departing, It almost crushed their whole world. But listen to what he says in verse 7. This is so important. He says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away." He says, "For if I go not away, the comforter," and if you would in your Bibles, highlight the word comforter. Some of you may have in your translations advocate, but it says the comforter or advocate will not come unto you. But if I depart, he's basically saying, if I go, then I'll be able to send him to you. You see, Jesus understood that we were going to need a gift of help in this life. And I want to kind of break it down even further. If you look at that word comforter, which I told you to highlight a little bit earlier, it's translated paraclete in the Greek. Well, you say, well, Pastor Ashley, I don't know what that means. What does that mean? All that means is helper. He's saying, I'm giving you a helper, somebody to assist you. As we read in Ecclesiastes 3, we're going to hit some rough spots. We're going to hit some difficult challenges. But he's saying, but don't be afraid. Be not afraid. I've got you. I'm sending you a helper to help come alongside you in those difficult seasons of your life. And see, when you look at the function, when you look at the flow, when you look at the anointing and the gifting of the Holy Spirit, he's so uniquely designed that he becomes a ready-made assist to help you in every situation to victory. You see, he becomes an eternal resource for you. And I don't know what that situation may call for. You know, sometimes we'll need love to love the unlovable. Sometimes we'll need peace in the midst of chaos. Sometimes we'll need joy when we're experiencing so much sadness. But whatever that is, he's able to be that eternal resource for us. And thirdly, the Holy Spirit's able to be adaptable. I love that. He's able to be a counselor when he needs to be, a teacher when he needs to be, a corrector when he needs to be, a leader when he needs. He has so many facets to him. And Jesus was saying, it's more beneficial that I go so that the Spirit can come. So because the way he flows and the way he functions and the way he's so uniquely designed that he can be everywhere all at once, the word of God calls it omnipresent, or in modern day times I like to call it, he's the ultimate multitasker. He is the ultimate multitasker. You see, he could be working over in Asia, but also doing miracles in Africa. He could be setting people free in Brazil, but also flowing in the Americas. He could be here working in Atlanta, but also showing God's glory to you right where you are in Houston, Texas, and Detroit, Michigan. He can be everywhere at one time. You see, sisters, this is why we must embrace the Spirit, because he is our ultimate helper. But what I love about our God is that, you know, when he formed the woman, he just didn't think up something. But he made us in the most beautiful way. My black sisters, we are beautiful. Our skin is beautiful. Our hair is beautiful. Our culture is beautiful. I love what Psalms 139:14 says. It says, I will praise thee, O Lord, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth well. You see, God didn't make a mistake in how he created us, but he created us on purpose and with precision and delicately. And what's even more powerful than how God formed us is what he placed on the inside of us. And I'm going to take you over. If you have your Bible still open, go over to Genesis 2, and I want to show you something that the Lord unlocked to me. In Genesis 2, I'm starting in verse 18. It says, and the Lord God said, it's not good that man should be alone. I think the Lord already knew what was going to happen if he left a bunch of men on this earth. He says, I will make him an helpmeet for him. And I want to give you a translation of what that word helpmeet is in the Hebrew. We're called the Ezers, E-Z-E-R, Ezers. He says, I'm going to give the man an Ezer. And you say, well, what does that mean? It means helper. I'm going to give the man a helper. The Lord already knew, ladies, the men were going to need a lot of help. And he looked down this earth and he said, oh, no. He says, I've seen man and I see what I've given in them, but I got to put a woman in that world. I got to put something. I got to get a woman down there, because, see, the way she moves, her demeanor, the way she carries herself, the way she's wired, it's going to be a completely different flow. But, see, when I used to read the scripture, ladies, I don't know about you all, but I used to think help. I don't know. I felt like that was a subservient term. I was like, Lord, you know, I don't want to be a help. But the Lord had to check my thinking on that, ladies. And he says, oh, no, Ashley. A helper does not speak to subservience, but it speaks of significance. You see, when the Messiah looked at the disciples, he says, oh, you all are going to need a helper. And he says, and I'm going to send him in the form of the Spirit so he can come and help and assist you, much like Elohim looked down on this earth and said to man, oh, I'm going to give you a helper. I'm going to have to give you a woman. So he came down and he formed the woman out of the rib of man. So delicately, you see, sisters, God created women to be powerful forces in this earth. And there is nothing subservient about us. And God created us so delicately, so much so that I love how God molded us. See, he molded us right in the image and the likeness of the Spirit, shaping us to be able and audacious and adaptable, shaping us to be the ultimate helpers. He even given us the gift of multitasking. You see, it's no wonder why women can be CEOs and boss women, but also serve their husbands and families. It's no wonder women can be strong managers, but tender mommies. It's no wonder that they can be strong leaders and pioneers while also displaying the meekness and the gentleness of God. You see, God created us different, sisters. He created us with a unique anointing. And I remember growing up, you know, in the kitchen of my grandmom's house. She used to be on the phone cooking grits with a baby on her side and minding the kids and telling everybody what to do. I just thought she was superwoman. She could do anything, clean, cook, whatever you had, she could do. But that's how God created us. See, we operate differently. We are, in the likeness of the Spirit, multitaskers, and it's so beautiful. But I want to kind of put something in your ear that I had to learn. Because now that we know who the Spirit is, and now that we know how he functions in our life and how he flows in our life, and now that we as women understand how we were created and who we were created to be and all of the gifting that was placed on the inside of us, now we can begin to embrace the Spirit. And I want to leave you with two keys to helping you to get out of your comfort zone and embrace the Spirit. You say, well, why do I have to get out of my comfort zone? I'm going to tell you, because sometimes, sisters, embracing the Spirit means we'll be uncomfortable. Sometimes embracing the Spirit means it'll get us out of our comfort zone and even have us develop some of our character. But I believe in embracing the Spirit will produce so much more fulfillment. And so with that, the first key that I want you to write down, if you have notes, to embracing the Spirit is we must have 20/20 vision. You say, well, I don't know. What is that? I want to just kind of share with you that there is a massive difference between having sight and having vision. You see, while sight is something I can see with my eyes open, vision is something I have with my eyes closed. And when we operate only by sight, it only allows us to see the problems and the challenges that surround us instead of the solutions that reside on the inside of us. You see, operating by vision, especially as Ezers, we'll begin to see things in the supernatural realm that our natural eye cannot see. I love this quote I found. It says, relying totally on what you see with your physical eye can blind you from seeing your future possibilities. And even more than I love that quote, I love what the Word of God has to say about it. If you turn over with me to 1 Corinthians in chapter 2, I'm starting at verse 9 here. It says, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. And it says, but God, I love those moments. The but God moments. It says, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Verses 13, I'm dropping down to, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. Sisters, I want to just encourage you that as you begin to embrace the Spirit, he'll begin to download vision on the inside of you. And I look at our ancestors and our foremothers that have gone before us and paved the way. And I look at some of the things that they had to go through and some of the visions that they had to have seen in order to press forward. And I look at people like Sojourner Truth, who had a vision from the Lord to do what she was called to do. Madam C.J. Walker, who had a vision that her hair care products would change the world. Harriet Tubman, who had a vision from the Lord of her role as a freedom fighter and liberator. And I love that most iconic speech that we still talk about today. Martin Luther King sat up there and said, I have a dream. What were these men and women saying? They were saying that they weren't seeing things by their physical eyes, but they were having visions. And when they began to embrace the Spirit, and when we began to embrace the Spirit, he'll begin to show us things that no eye has seen, nor ear has heard. Some of you may have already experienced this, where you just have your dreams written down in maybe a journal somewhere. I want you to pull those things out. You know, the Word of God says to write the vision and make it plain. And I want to share with you that if He has given you something that He's put in your heart, maybe you haven't even told anybody yet, I am telling you to put faith to that word and write the vision and make it plain. Secondly, my second key, you say, well, Pastor Ashley, you know, I had a vision, you know, and I still, I don't know how it's going to come to pass. I want you to write this down. The second key to embracing the Spirit, I want you to release the fear of what if. Release the fear of what if. You know, instead of allowing our minds to ask, you know, what if I fail? What if I don't have enough money? What if I can't do it? What if I'm not enough? Instead of having our minds take us into fear and anxiety and into an abyss of doubt, I want us to, ladies, instead, don't ask what if, ask who is. Who is? Who is with me in the obstacle? You see, embracing the Spirit is not about the circumstance or the obstacle or the challenge you're facing. Embracing the Spirit is about who is in the obstacle with you. And sometimes we got to remind ourselves who was in this place with us. And you see, my sisters, I'm going to just kind of clarify for you who He is in this obstacle with you. My sister, Yahweh is with you. The great I Am is with you. The Lord of hosts is with you. El Shaddai is with you. God Almighty is with you. Elohim is with you. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And He has not lost a battle yet. He is standing with you. And when I look at women, you know, we're honoring our foremothers on this whole month. But when I look at women, a legendary icon such as Viola Desmond, many of you may not know her, but she was a advocate and an owner of a beauty school for her Black race in the country of Canada. So that's probably why we haven't heard a lot about her, but they call her the Rosa Parks of Canada. But when I look at her fortitude and her strength, see, she wasn't afraid to go through the hard things in order to make a better future for those coming behind her. My sisters, we have an assignment. We're the Ezers. We're the helpers. What assignment has God placed on the inside of you that you could be right now fulfilling in this world? Because the world needs you. Mankind needs you. God needs the gifting He's poured on the inside of you to be fulfilled in this earth. We need more Ezers. And I realize, as I'm saying this, I realize that some of the things that we go through is hard. It's challenging. It feels like I just keep getting blow after blow. I go back to the Ecclesiastes 3 about breaking down, about experiencing losses. There's a lot of things we go through, and sometimes we just get tired. I understand that. I understand that. And I also think that when the storms of life come, we got to remind ourselves that we're not in the storm by ourselves. You know, I was reading kind of the plight and the pattern of hurricanes and tornadoes. I don't know if you know much about that, but I didn't until I started researching it. But, you know, meteorologists will say they have peak times, but really they say a tornado and a hurricane can happen at any moment, at any time. And I was just thinking about how devastating that is, a physical one. But I understand metaphorically that sometimes in our life, it feels like our life feels like a hurricane or a tornado. It's just things going around and we got job loss and suffering. And it's just things we deal with. And it just feels like you're standing there and your life is just spinning around you. And you feel like out of control at this moment. And I understand that. But I want to share with you, sisters, that I want you to look up because you're not alone. In studying the pattern of these tornadoes and hurricanes, the meteorologist said there's also one place in these storms that actually is the most peaceful place. And I think that's so crazy. It's oxymoronic, right? Like, it's a storm. What's the peace in the storm? But they said the one peaceful place in the storm is actually in the eye of the storm, in the middle of a storm. And so I want to encourage you that if you feel like you're in the middle of a storm in your life, that you're not alone. And I want to also encourage you that although there may be chaos around you, there is definitely peace within you. And I love what our God says. He's an ever-present help in our time of need. He is there to comfort you, and He will never forsake you. He'll never forsake you. And so, my sisters, with this, I want to close us in prayer. And I know a lot of us have been dealing with a lot of things, but I feel on my heart impressed to pray for you and impressed to encourage you that you are an Ezer. You have the Holy Spirit within you, an eternal resource for you. I want you to use him and utilize him. And as you begin to embrace him, he'll begin to show you more of who you are in him. And so, dear Daddy, I just thank you right now. I thank you for each and every woman that is on, that is tuned in here. Sisters reaching all across the nation, from Detroit into Texas and to Atlanta, Georgia. Lord, we just give you all the praise and glory for every woman and their families on this call now. Father, I am just interceding for those women that have felt like life has been tough, that have felt like life has hit them, and maybe they've been in a tornado and a hurricane, Father, but I ask you right now to cover your peace, to cover them with your peace, surround them with your grace, surround them with your love. As women are learning how to, you know, do this virtual school thing and having children, Father, and navigating through the loss of jobs, Father, I just pray you be Jehovah Jireh for them, Father, that you open up the windows of heaven, giving them blessings, Father. I just pray right now that you are an ever-present help in their time of need, coming to comfort them, coming to love on them, coming to empower them. Lord, I pray more visions are coming forth from you, Father. And I pray that as those visions come forth, they have the faith to put it on paper, Father. And I pray that as they put that on paper, Father, that they'll begin to release that fear of what if, but instead ask, who is? For you are always with us. We love you, Lord. And we praise you just for all that you are. And we thank you. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Ashe and amen. Well, ladies, I pray that you have a wonderful Women's History Month, the rest of this month, and I'm celebrating right with you. I love you. Until next time, goodbye.
Y'all, I wanted to throw something at my wife. Girl, you brought the word today, and if you all could do me a huge favor, can we encourage the messenger on today? I mean, I was just sitting here listening to her words, and there were times that I just wanted to get up and run and shout and cry all at the same time. Ashley, that was phenomenal. And I thank God for you. But I believe that there are those who are out there right now who may be feeling like, I need help with embracing the Spirit. Yes, life has been tough. Can you pray with me? And I want to do just that. So right now, if you would just join me in prayer, and there's a number on the screen right now, that's 770-667-4899. And it just simply says, I've prayed with you. So after I pray this prayer, if you've prayed with me, if we've joined up together, then I want you to text that number so that we can follow up with you and encourage you and just give you tips and resources to help you improve your life step by step by step. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, you are so wonderful. You are so awesome. God, I thank you for that word that you downloaded to Ashley that she was able to deliver to us. Father, may we truly embrace your Spirit. May we embrace what you're doing when things are tough, when things are trying, God. I'm asking you to just surround those who may have felt hopeless, who may have had questions and just don't know which way to go. May your wisdom be there. Father, for any person who is dealing with any depression or anxiety or just unresolved traumas that seem to flare up and are triggered by different circumstances in their life, God, be the present help to them. Lord, we thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Before we close out today, I would love to give you an opportunity to partner with us as it relates to your finances. Here at the Outlet Community, we believe in building community and creating legacy by empower, equipping, developing, and deploying leaders into our communities. And I again want to reiterate how it's such an honor to lead this generous congregation, this generous community. For every person who is listening or watching who has just felt led to sow into the ministry, every dollar that you've sown into our church has a mission. It has a purpose to impact the life of someone else. And if you desire to give today, there are three ways to give at the Outlet. You can give by text, you can give online, or you can give through Zelle. There'll be information that comes up on the screen showing you the different ways in which you could directly sow into the Outlet community. And we promise to be responsible, to be accountable, and to be transparent with every dollar that we've received. Again, I want to invite you all immediately following today's service, where we are going to have our State of the Church event, where we are going to sit down and disclose everything about our ministry. It's our opportunity to be fully transparent, to let you know what we have done with your resources, and give you an insight to the future of what we desire to do. We are going to meet on our same e-groups link that is going to be right there on the screen. And if you're on the online campus, there's a button that's going to come up on the screen for you to click on that you can just follow all the way to Zoom. There's going to be some sensitive information on there, so it will not be recorded because we will be disclosing financial records as well. So God bless you all so much. I look forward to seeing you right when we hop on over to Zoom. Can't wait to see you next week. We are starting a brand new series called I'm Shook, What to Do When Your Faith is Shaken and You Have Doubts. Can't wait to see you next week. God bless.